This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Let's see. It's Tuesday, so we got Fish on Friday on Tuesday coming up in the second hour. Also in the second hour, it's funny how it works. Like, this is the middle of July, Jeffrey. Nothing's happening.
About that.
Nothing's happening. And so my friend Ty Cobb, who's a former Ole Miss cheerleader who started the Bud Light Daredevils, which sort of became the model and the all these sort of traveling
dunkers, phenoms.
That was sort of the start of that whole thing. Traveled the world, became a real phenomenon, and there's a guy named Mark Odgers who was one of the Bud Light Daredevils, and he literally was on Letterman, I think this is true, 13 times. Doing various tricks. Like at one point, I know I saw this trick today when I was Googling it. Outside the Ed Sullivan Theater, they had him jump over 13 interns. Now, I wish we had interns, Jeffrey, because then we could have Mark see if he could still jump over interns, right? We could line him up right here in the parking lot.
Absolutely.
And he could jump over 13 interns. Sadly, we have no interns.
Yeah.
Now, John has a new car, a Telluride. It's a Kia Telluride.
Yep.
Did you see that?
I did see this yesterday.
We could have Mark Odgers try to jump over a Telluride. Anyway, so we said, and they're making a film about this. He's now a filmmaker, and they're making a film about this era. And so he was in town. They said, could we stop in the studio? We don't have Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. I said, we got nothing else to talk about. That'd be great. Like, listen, good enough for David Letterman 13 times, good enough for the Jeff Calkins show. So thrilled to have Mark Odgers here. And then it turns out we have so much to talk about. We could do 20-hour show. We could take calls. We have a lot to talk about here on this Tuesday morning. And so we will get to it. Second hour, we're going to dig into some pretty serious stuff in the first hour. Second hour, it'll be a little bit of a break to join the real world.
Palate cleanser
with Mark Odgers jumping over people, at least metaphorically.
Talking about
jumping over people. And a Fish on Friday on Tuesday. In the meantime, there's big Memphis Grizzly news and there's big Memphis Tiger news. And as the Tigers try to watch this, Jeffrey, make the leap into another conference. So that broke. Let's just see. Did it break during our show yesterday, Jeffrey?
Jeff, that's incorrect.
No, it didn't break during our show. Does anyone ever hand us anything? Nope. I think we mentioned just a week ago that Jason and John, born on third base, right?
Rounding third base, some have said.
Sometimes rounding third base, and they think they hit a triple.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there they are. What happens? Russ Dellinger breaks the story about Memphis's aggressive bid to get into the Big 12. And so that became all the talk yesterday. It will be more talk today. And I've written a column about it, which you can read at the Daily Memphian. On top of that, Sam Hardiman had the news today in the Daily Memphian. Sam, of course, joins us Wednesday. We'll talk about this with him further tomorrow, that the mayor, who had earlier said that he expected lease negotiations with the Grizzlies to be wrapped up this summer, now saying won't happen this summer. And so that is the other news, and I would say is equally worrisome, equally worrisome. But let's deal with them in turn, Jeffrey, and then we may well take your calls during this first hour in addition. So, yesterday, the news of the offer to the Big 12 and the rejection by the Big 12. Of course, unless you're living under a rock, you know by now that Memphis came forth with an offer to buy their way into the Big 12, offering different numbers, different places, at least $150 million. Some say $200 million. I saw Bruce Feldman said $250 million. A whole lot of sponsorship dollars offered to the Big 12. In exchange, Memphis wanted absolutely nothing, no TV money for the next 5 years, the SMU deal. And as an extra added bonus, said, if at the end of those 5 years, you don't think we're bringing value, you can ask us to leave and we'll go quietly, basically. So Memphis offered free money in exchange for effectively nothing, except for a chance, except for a chance. On top of that, by the way, Memphis would have had to pay at the very least a $25 million exit fee from the American and Soar.
Yep.
Soar the Eagle. So when you look at what unfolded yesterday, do you consider this good news that the University of Memphis is sufficiently creative, ambitious, and well-funded to put together this kind of offer? Are you fundamentally heartened by all of that, or are you fundamentally discouraged by the fact that they put together such an offer and it was met not only not with an agreement and a warm invitation to join, but they didn't even take a vote, didn't even need to take a vote. It would take 12 of 16 of the conference members voting to admit Memphis for it to have been accepted. They did not take a vote. Do you find this to be fundamentally, hey, good for Memphis, or, oh, man, that's discouraging? Where do you come down on this?
It's like 51-49. Good for Memphis, because
really?
I do think, like, this is an effort that I don't think was half-hearted for a couple of reasons. As you wrote in your column yesterday, you do not believe that Bill Hargrave was making this proposal thinking that, oh, this was like a Hail Mary, look at what we've done. And as Ross Dellinger had pointed out in his story, there have been meetings that have been had, in-person visits. There's been a lot of effort over the last year and a half. And at other times, I think I was trying to remember, was it last summer? There was the Baylor president, I think, maybe has a relationship with Bill Hargrave and was stumping for Memphis a little bit. So I also believe that it seems to me that you would work to some degree with Brett Yormark. And the deal that was put together felt very much like this is a very strong marketing deal. And that's the world that he comes from. And so I kind of believe that the leak might have come from Brett Yormark in an attempt to be like, I don't think all these people realize how hard of a deal this was to put together and how good of a deal this was to put together.
Well, let's be clear. The deal didn't come from Memphis. I mean, the leak didn't come from Memphis, right? Like,
100%.
Like Memphis doesn't want to be humiliated by putting out, we tried to buy our friends and our friends said no.
Right.
Like, so the leak came from the Big 12 somewhere.
Yep.
The leak very clearly came from the Big 12 somewhere. And let's then focus, because this is where you put your 51%, let's focus on the positives of this for a moment.
That was a legitimate offer.
Well, if you recall, back when SMU did this, put together an ambitious offer, What we saw were fawning pieces everywhere about how unbelievably visionary and aggressive and ambitious the SMU boosters and administrators were in putting together such a deal, right? You went back after it happened and people would put together timelines. They flew here then. They met with this person then. They met with – because – and everyone was seen as, boy, SMU is visionary. And you know what people were saying here in Memphis? Gosh, it would be nice if our administration could do something like that, but we could never do something like that. We're not over the resources, or we do not have the ambition, or we don't have, look at what SMU did. We aren't capable of that.
I believe the note is like 11 of their 16 board of trustees are billionaires.
Yeah. So, and you know what? Here we are. Memphis did that. Memphis.
More.
Not only did that, Memphis bettered them. It was a sweeter offer. And so it is absolutely true that Memphis should, and I'm certain does regret, that they didn't put this sort of energy and ambition back in 2002 or 2001 or 1998, when it might have actually had more room to grow. But you can't redo that. And so they did what they could do. And I honestly, like, Bill Hardgrave and Ed Scott are not out there all the time. Like, David Rudd was much more aggressively out there. And in a way that I think people appreciated, honestly, hearing from David Rudd. And so we don't, Ed Scott, when he talks, he's seems to be transparent. But they're not out there all the time. And so you've wondered, what's happening back there? And it turns out a lot. And among the things that was revealed yesterday, lots of things were revealed yesterday. One of the things that was revealed was that Marvin Ellison, you know, we always talk about Fred and AutoZone and whatever. And very clearly, FedEx and AutoZone were clearly a part of this sponsorship package. I'd be stunned if they were not. But we don't hear a lot about Marvin Ellison. Well, Marvin Ellison is a Memphis graduate. He's the CEO of Lowe's. And
I learned this yesterday.
If you've added another big hitter, the fact that honestly Memphis hadn't tapped into like Marvin Ellison before is interesting, or not in a way that people had heard. But I had started to hear the name Marvin Ellison maybe 6 months ago. And honestly, I think that's a credit to Ed Scott. Like, that is the job of an AD, is to form relationships with people who can move the needle for you.
Absolutely.
And I think the Ed Scott-Marvin Ellison relationship here is a significant part of this package that we're looking at. So they put together this unbelievably ambitious offer, an offer that's kind of like, they called it a risk-free offer for the Big 12, because here's what happens. The Big 12 takes all the money from Memphis, all the sponsorship money, and if they don't like Memphis, they just say leave after 5 years. Literally, there's normally you'd say, well, this is, yeah, okay, that's fine. Memphis is going to get 5 years, but after that, the Big 12 is going to have to pay to have Memphis as a member. Well, no, not necessarily. Like, it was an incredibly creative, ambitious offer, and I do think you have to tip your cap to them for having done that. And if you want to be optimistic, you can say that what it shows is a level of support for the program and ambition on part of the program. This isn't going anywhere. Like, they are today and tomorrow and the next day are just as ambitious and have just that level of resources. So if you want to actually put the happy twist on this, I think that's the thing to look at and to appreciate and to applaud. Now, it is something that's interesting because I didn't think there was a lot new in the column that I wrote. But one point that did occur to me as I was writing the column that I included in there was, we saw that Dellinger reported that the president had met, Bill Hargrave had met with, over the last 14 months, multiple in-person visits to talk to presidents in the Big 12, right? You don't put forth this effort and make it public. Like, if you're going on those visits and everyone's saying, listen, Bill, We appreciate it, man. We understand what you're up against, but we just we're not there. We can't. We don't want to expand right now, or there's not support, or whatever else. If you hear that over and over and over again, you know what? You don't quote unquote make the offer, right? Like it's just like coaching searches, right? A lot of these coaching searches, you don't really make the offer until you know they're accepting.
We got our guy.
We got our guy, and so why in the world did Memphis put forth on paper this offer if they knew that it was going to be shot down? I don't think they did. I think they put forth the offer having a pretty good sense that it would be accepted. So why then was it shot down? And what's interesting here is that it has real echoes of what happened in 2016. That was the time when the Big 12 didn't expand, but was thinking of expanding. They obviously did expand when they were
trying to distract everyone from the Baylor scandal.
and they
look over here.
And they had this dog and pony show, and Memphis administrators were, if not 100%, 98% convinced they were getting in. This was when FedEx. This is when, but. And the truth of the matter is the offer yesterday may have been unprecedented, but the offer in 2016 looked a lot like this. Big sponsorship package, taking a reduced payout. It wasn't nothing.
Right.
Like there were a lot of the same elements in 2016, a lot of the same elements to the offer, and including a complete ironclad confidence on the part of Memphis administrators that they would get in. And yet then something happened. What happens, Jeffrey? What is it? And I think this is the million-dollar or $150 million or $200 or $250 million question. What is it that ultimately happens and dooms Memphis? And maybe the circumstances are different. Right now, the Big 12 may not want to expand. There's not another team. Like, there's lots of reasons here. It was suggested to me by people in the know that TV has a lot to do with this. In other words, you can say it's presidents, 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 but TV has a lot to do with this.
So my first instinct was the Big 12's probably experiencing a lot of the issues that you're seeing, like even in the SEC, not as much in the Big 10 because they kind of operate as from top down, but a lot of times athletic directors are just obsessed with how can we raise more revenue? How can we raise more revenue?
Right.
How can we raise more
how
revenue?
How can we raise more revenue?
Correct. And so they probably hear this deal and they're like, hell yeah.
Yeah. One of the numbers and I think the Dellinger story said that PayPal right now is putting $1 million in the pocket of every Big 12 program annually.
Yep.
And that this Memphis offer would put another $2 million at least dollars into the pocket. And if you're an AD, you're like, I could use $2 million. Let's do it.
Yes.
Right.
And if you're the presidents, you're used to looking at the bigger budgets. And then you're probably also thinking this, why do we have to decide this today?
Well, the offer, Memphis isn't going anywhere.
Right. There is a leverage aspect. And then there's also, you know, you're expecting some form of upheaval. Everyone's always looking over at the ACC. Everyone's kind of got their eyes on that. And it's like, well, what if the SEC and the Big Ten kind of stay true to their word and they don't want to expand? And all of a sudden, those schools are still out. We already know that Florida State and Clemson have met with the Big 12. So maybe you're sitting there going, why do we have to do this today? What if this jeopardizes what we could do later?
Yeah, it's funny. There's a lot of soul-searching on the part of Memphians because this has been a quest that has gone on for three decades, and because it has always met the same end, there is this sort of, what's the reason? Is there a reason? You know, why don't they like us? You know, like it and I hate to say this, I don't think there's one reason. I think, for example, like a lot of people say, well, it's the image of Memphis and crime and all that stuff, right? That there's a, and then some people say, well, okay, that hinges, that also tinges with racism or whatever else, all of that. Here's the truth. That do I believe that the perception of the city, and let's be honest, of the program itself, make Memphis less attractive, less compelling as a candidate? Absolutely. I think the image of the city and the university itself in terms of the NCAA troubles, they're a ding, right? That's a ding.
Sir, I think it's fair to say this.
But if Memphis...
It's not a plus.
Right. But if Memphis were a city with 8 million people, that wouldn't matter. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
There is this scale, right? And on the scale...
Houston crime-free?
Yeah, right. Houston isn't crime-free. Is Miami crime-free? Is, you know, like there is a scale. And so you look at the pluses and you look at the minuses. And, yeah, it would be easier to overlook the NCAA stuff. And the Memphis seems a little bit shaky as a city, as a community right now and whatever else. If Memphis were delivering massive TV numbers, right?
Yep.
And so it is all to me a balance. And the real fundamental challenge for Memphis all along has been the market and the riches, right?
Yes.
Like in the end, it's a small market and it's a not particularly wealthy market.
Correct.
And so I just look back at the last time they did this. Orlando, well, it's Florida's booming, right? Like in the end,
particularly Central Florida.
Central Florida's booming, right? It's new, it's modern, it's upcoming, it's booming, it's got momentum, it's whatever else. It's not because UCF has some great athletic reputation, but you could look at it and squint and say, I see the future there. Houston is massive. And Cincinnati, that's actually a little more tenuous, but Cincinnati is a bigger city. And by the way, they were kicking butt at the time in football.
Well, and you and I talked about this, like, people can kind of roll their eyes. Their endowment's over $1 billion.
Right.
Like, it's...
And BYU, say what you want. They have limitations. There's lots of issues with BYU, cultural ones and whatever else that people might wonder about. But it is a bigger brand. Like, BYU is a bigger national brand than the University of Memphis.
I mean, I hate to say it. Like, they're really freaking rich.
So, you know, why SMU?
Let's use the SMU example, because this is what I wondered yesterday, and you would know better than I would. So I want to ask you this. Why the obsession of the Big 12? Because SMU used to be in a conference with these people.
Right.
And I do also understand there's Texas politics. There's politics about, you know, these people don't like each other, whatever. But they had the resources, and they had everything, and they very strategically said, we're not doing the Big 12. We know that it's imperative to get out.
Right. I think my assessment, I don't know the answer to that. My assessment is that they thought the Big 12 was more likely, you know, is they don't think the ACC is interested in expanding right now, and they thought the Big 12 was more likely. I don't think it is just we wouldn't want to go to the ACC. I think they sized up the likelihood, and obviously they're like, for some one reason or another, they read the room wrong. Like they did in the end read the room wrong to push. But this stuff isn't going away. Like UConn has made an effort.
Yep.
UConn's still out there, right? Like Boise has made efforts. Boise's still like schools are still out there that are that are candidates for all this, and it's not going away. For Memphis, the other interesting thing is we learned yesterday in the Dellinger piece was that, and this was a little unclear, but that Memphis had committed to doing the full revenue share, $20.5 million paying their athletes. Now, I ask you, do you think that only held if they were in the Big 12?
So that was my question. So I asked Munns this yesterday because I don't know. Maybe this makes me a prick, but I did say, like, on that one, it's kind of like I need to see the work. But Munns, who's a much better reporter than I am, he believes that that number's probably real. It's not starting this year. It would be next year.
Is it real even if they get rejected by the Big 12?
He seemed to think so.
Yeah. And that, again, that is if...
But
if,
to your point, part of like when SMU raised, what was it, like $170 million in 24 hours, well, that was a bunch of people saying, if you get into another league, here's all the money.
Well, and I know, honestly, like as part of the bid in 2016, Memphis said, if we get in, we'll do X to the stadium.
Yeah.
Right? The stadium was contingent back then on we will do... You know, if you get in, these are the things we promise. We promise to invest this. We promise to that. And to Memphis's credit, they did a lot of things. Like the quote that I wrote about that was particularly galling in the Dellinger story was the one administrator, anonymous administrator from the Big 12, who said, well, we vetted them last time. What has changed? And, of course, the answer to that is a lot has changed. You know, A, the offer itself has changed. But, B, Memphis, since that moment, has become a R1 research university, according to Carnegie. And so that has changed. What's also changed is they've put forth a $200 million plus stadium renovation. What's also changed is a $10 million soccer complex. What's also changed is that they finished in the top 25 in football and basketball last year. There's plenty that has changed. If you didn't see what has changed, you're not looking for it and you weren't interested. Do I think that this is the final death knell? It's over. You can now fold up and go. No, it's not. It's never over. Is it a bad sign? Yeah, it's a bad sign. You put that, and it's still. It shows that this is still a tough climb, and it's only getting tougher because what happens is, and this is the same thing in the NBA when they decided, we won't expand right now. Ultimately, Memphis can say all they want. They can say, we're not going to take TV money for 5 years, and after 5 years, you can kick us out. But what Memphis is counting on is that after 5 years, you won't kick us out, and we will ultimately get a share of the pie. Otherwise, Memphis wouldn't be interested in this, right?
Yeah.
And so,
or I wonder if it's one of those situations where, because that was obviously a detail that everybody fixated on. I also wonder if it's one of those things that it looks good to put in writing to make it seem like, hey, this is the kicker. Let's get this deal done. But I also wonder if it's one of those things that it's going to be a lot harder to do that than you think.
Yeah. I think emotionally it's hard to kick him out. Hey, date me for a while and then you can break up with me. Well, breaking up is hard, particularly if it takes all these votes to get you out, like, you know, whatever else. Yeah, whatever.
Boxes.
Right, exactly. So I think that is a little, I think that's true. Ultimately, Memphis wanted a piece of the pie. Otherwise, they wouldn't be doing this.
That one quote of ultimately what's changed? I'm understanding of what you're saying, but if we distill it down to let's take the quote. What if that really does go back to television?
No, that hasn't changed. Yeah. It's
and if you said, like, if we're claiming that is going to be,
if it all was market size, the market size has not changed.
Right.
That is true. I do also wonder, one of the stories mentioned that if you're trying to make the case that you should get another dominant team, and Memphis really hasn't been as dominant as Cincinnati was or Houston was in basketball or whatever else, but another dominant American team and bring it to the Big 12. If you look at the level of success that Cincinnati, Houston, and UCF have had in the Big 12, except for Houston in basketball, very impressive.
Yeah.
Not impressive.
No, 100%.
They've struggled.
It's all market size.
They've struggled.
I mean, UCF had a moment in football.
A moment, yes, you said, but it has not like
they've not sustained it.
It's not like, hey, we came to the Big 12 and we lifted up this conference.
Right.
The ones that they've taken, Houston basketball is the exception, but the ones that they've taken from the American have not exactly set the world on fire once they got there. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back and talk about the Grizzlies on the other side. I don't know if we're going to have time for calls. We've got a Bud Light Daredevil here at 10 o'clock. He's going to jump over things in the studio, I presume. And then we got Fish on Friday on Tuesday. So we'll take a little break from the real world in the second hour. When we come back, we'll talk more about this. We'll talk about the Grizzlies as well. Before then, I will tell you, if you are looking for a new financial institution, if you've got your eye on a new Telluride like John Martin, and you need a car loan, Go to Leaders Credit Union and ask about car loans. If you need a mortgage, go to Leaders Credit Union and ask about mortgages. If you want to get your kid invested in saving, start saving. Set up a bank account for your kid. Go to Leaders Credit Union. If you yourself are irritated with your financial institution being nickel and dime, the fact that it's changed names three different times, go to Leaders Credit Union. Among all those other things, in addition to everything else, as a credit union, what you know is they don't have stockholders that need to be paid. They don't have Wall Street that needs to be made happy. Every penny goes back into better service, better technology, and better rates. It's Leaders Credit Union. To learn more, go to leaderscu.com/ESPN. Going to take a break. Back in a moment. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, this is your last chance, folks. Last chance to save up to 40% off all diamond jewelry and engagement rings at Robert Irwin Jewelers. So you have the summer of 1,000 engagements. It doesn't last forever. Nothing lasts forever. Nothing even this great lasts forever. So, for example, in addition to the up to 40% off all diamond jewelry, that's all diamond jewelry and engagement rings. With a purchase of $9.99 or more, you get free diamond stud earrings. And with a purchase of $24.99 or more, you get a free Yeti Tundra cooler. So get a 3-carat diamond tennis bracelet on sale for only $9.99, and you get a free pair of diamond stud earrings. It's kind of amazing. By the way, you also have incredible finance. You can propose now and pay later. Take up to 60 months to pay. So don't put it off any longer. Sales don't last forever. It's winding down. Last chance to save up to 40% off diamond jewelry during the Robert Irwin Jewelers Summer of 1,000 Engagements Sale. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices, Robert Irwin Jewelers. 5 locations are online at rijewelers.com. So, Jeffrey, we've dealt with one massive topic. Do you have anything else to say on this? Anything else to say about what has happened with the Big 12?
My instinct says that Brett Yormark is not happy with his constituency.
Interesting.
I think he thinks he cut a really good deal.
They worked hard to present this deal.
Yep.
And
it wasn't even voted.
I have gathered that they thought were pretty confident that it would fly. And it did not fly. So there you go. All right. Well, then the other news.
Hooray.
And this was from the Daily Memphian, Sam Hardiman, who does such a good job reporting on the city and will join us tomorrow. Headline, deal to keep Grizzlies in Memphis won't be done this summer, mayor says. Now, as you recall, the mayor had said that he expected that lease negotiations would be wrapped up this summer. Well, that, according to Sam, has been pushed off. Here's the actual quotes from the story. You can read it over at the Daily Memphian. Young said discussions are still moving forward, but noted that the timing had changed. Told the Daily Memphian in February that he had hoped to complete the Grizzlies deal by the end of the summer. We are certainly still having conversations. We are working toward an agreement, Young said. I'm not sure of the timing at this point, but we're still very optimistic that things will move forward. This, by the way, you know how the Grizzlies never like to put a timeline on injury stuff? This is why timelines are dangerous, because if you put a timeline out there and then you don't meet the timeline, then there's a story that you didn't meet the timeline, right?
Correct.
That's why timelines are dangerous. So the question is that I ask myself as a Memphian, and that you out there might be asking yourself as a Memphian, is this worrisome? And the answer has to be yes. Of course it's worrisome.
Well, they were trying to get a deal done and didn't.
It's not that they didn't. They haven't.
Correct.
Right? This isn't voted down yet. But it was 2 years ago, two summers ago, that we had the massive civic food fight about the money, right?
Yep.
The money, should the $350 go to the city? Should it go to the Grizzlies to work on FedEx Forum? Should it go to University of Memphis for the football stadium? Oh, no, goodness, as you properly identified, there wasn't enough money to do both. You identified that very early, not enough money to do both. Then what happens? Fred Smith steps in, offers to fund the difference. Hurrah, celebration. We now have enough money for the football stadium and enough money for the Grizzlies. Yippee. That was 2 years ago. Then there was additional, we sure we have enough money for the Grizzlies. And there was, Stan would write story after story about, they identified this latest, the city council voted on this stream of financing. They voted on this stream of financing. Oh, and then there was a story, all the money is secured, right?
Yep.
Now, mind you, I do want to point this out, that I know that to me, to you, to many of you out there, 500 plus million for an arena renovations coming from a pretty poor city may seem like a lot of money, because it is. But relative to what other cities are being asked and are offering up, Memphis in that deal would be getting off cheap, as I've said a million times. Oklahoma City building a brand new arena.
1.2?
Yeah. So like, it's pretty great that after 25 years, you could just, like, fix this thing up. It's kind of amazing. The original arena was you could build it for $250 million. Now 500 plus fixes it up, you know, gets better sound system.
By the way, I don't know if it fixes it up.
Well, it
makes it slightly nicer.
Yeah, it makes it. It'll be nicer. So anyway, so they got the money. Why isn't it signed? And the mayor is a little vague on this. Why hasn't it been signed? And the Grizzlies don't say anything. They never say anything. But according to Sam, he had a phrase in here. Oh, here you go. The Grizzlies, throughout the past few years, have quietly made it known that the team would like to see a cleaner and safer downtown. And then Young, talking about this, about improvements to the city, they want to see a vibrant downtown, and Memphians want to see a vibrant downtown. So I think it achieves many goals for our city. Downtown is our living room. This is a shared space. It's our neighborhood, that everybody's neighborhood. And I think it's important that we invest in it, that we can ensure it's as attractive as it can be, as safe as it can be, and as vibrant as it can be. And those are the goals that we're working towards. Here's the problem. if what you're saying is, listen, I'll sign the lease if we get $500 million. Well, that's something concrete.
Yep.
We'll sign the lease. We'll have a deal here if we get $750 million. That's something that's concrete. May not be reachable, but like there are things here. Or we'll sign the deal if we have a guarantee of whatever you need. But if the holdup is we want to see a vibrant downtown, with all due respect, I don't think in the next year Memphis is going to have a vibrant downtown. Like, if it is we want to see the crime numbers go down, they're already going down. Now, that may not translate to y'all out there. You may not believe it. You may not whatever. It may not be where it should be. In fact, it's not where it should be. Perceptions may not be orienting with the new lower crime numbers, whatever else. It just seems like an unbelievably, again, the Grizzlies aren't saying this, so it's difficult. Like, what do they need? They have not come out and said, what we need is X or Y or Z, and then we'll sign the lease. Because if they did say that, then you could meet X or Y or Z. The problem is that if you say, yeah, we kind of want Memphis to stop being Memphis, could that happen in the next year or the next 2 years? It feels unlikely that's going to happen.
Let's say even if you could, that's still not an objective measure.
How do you know? I know it when I see it.
I don't know. It seems to me what they want is, it clicked for me when I went to Denver last summer, and we went to Coors Field, and so around Coors Field, all of these real estate companies have redeveloped all these like warehouse district things, and they've made it very nice. Like
if they want, we want control. But mind you, again, the Grizzlies. I don't think the Grizzlies want to run Beale Street, right? They don't want to be responsible for. They would ultimately love it if Beale Street were beautiful without, like, they got their hands full.
I think they don't want to run Beale Street, but I do think they want to tell Beale Street how they want it to look.
They definitely want to have impact. Yeah, they don't like Beale Street the way it is now. But if it were, okay, what you got to do is you got to hand us over control of Beale Street. Well, then that would be an objective thing.
Correct.
Right? You know, if that's what we need.
That would be a stipulation.
Listen, I don't blame the Grizzlies for wanting to drive a hard bargain. They're going to be here for the next, you know, whatever. This, you'd sign a lease for 20, 25, 30 years. You don't, like, I understand that you want to make sure your neighborhood is a neighborhood that you want to live in. Same thing if you were renting a room in an apartment, you would want to make sure that the apartment was being taken care of. So I don't blame the Grizzlies for caring about this stuff. Hell, I'm glad someone does care about this stuff. I think they should be applauded for actually caring about this stuff. It makes all the sense in the world that they would. I just think I think they don't say much because they don't want to be alarmist. But what the problem is by saying much,
the lack of information creates,
can be alarmist. Now, I want to say two other things about this. One is, before you get too worked up about it, if Robert Parra had wanted to leave Memphis, he could have left a long time ago. And specifically, just several years ago, there was very clearly a shortfall in the lease obligations by the city of Memphis. And that entitled the Grizzlies to end the lease and get the hell out of here. And they did not do that. Instead, they quietly rewrote portions of the lease and remained. The guy is unbelievably rich. My understanding is, I know people object that he's not here or at games or whatever else. The people in the know with the Grizzlies are incredibly grateful that someone who has that kind of resources, who isn't actually interested in squeezing every last dollar out of the franchise, is the owner of the franchise. Again, if he wanted to get out of here, he could have ripped him out of here a long time ago. And so that, to me, bodes well. The challenge is that all of this story coming out today by Sam does take place against the backdrop of an NBA that literally this week or last week?
Last week.
They met to discuss expansion, and they said, yeah, let's put a break on expansion.
We'll
Why?
Back.
Honestly, this goes very much back to what we were saying about the Big 12. You know, if we expand, we're going to have to be dividing this pie up. Let's say you'd add Seattle and Las Vegas. Seattle and Las Vegas are going to want the piece of this TV pie forever. So why do we want to do that, particularly at a time when the TV landscape in the NCAA with these regional networks going away?
NBA?
Sometimes words elude me. Sometimes my
acronyms.
My
You're great with words.
Brain. It's acronym. So the TV network is uncertain at best. And so
yes.
And so maybe this isn't the moment to be biting off new franchises. And yet, you know who everyone acknowledges needs a franchise? Seattle. There has been a long sense that Seattle was screwed over by the NBA. And B, that Seattle is could be a tremendous market for the NBA. And so there has been this, Seattle needs a team. And some of that's from media members, but there is, I think, some sense that Seattle would be, let's be honest, it's an unbelievably big, vibrant, rich city. Needs a team. But what I actually gather is that there's no Seattle owner who has emerged who wants to pay $6 billion.
You know who screwed Seattle? Howard Schultz. Because sold the Sonics to a group that was called like Oklahoma Sports.
He moved them out. He moved to a team that was moving
he
them
gave
out.
Me yeah, a firm handshake. He was not going to move that team.
No, there's no question. He screwed them.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And the problem is that with the Celtics going for $6 billion, the price of an expense, and it's unclear but one way to get Seattle a team to not have to expand and to not find an owner who's willing to pay a $6 billion expansion fee is if you just pick up the Grizzlies and you move them to Seattle. And now you might say, As much as Memphis may struggle, small market, everything else, there is a weaker franchise, by the way. Like, Memphis is not the slowest deer. There's a slower deer. And the slower deer that should be brought down by the Wolves is New Orleans.
Yep.
They don't even care about that damn franchise. Like, that's a small city. It's a poor city. And because they have the Saints, LSU, I mean, they don't even give a flip.
They don't even have plans to renovate Smoothie
King. That's a disaster down there. The problem is New Orleans is owned by the Benson family, the same family that owns the Saints, and they don't have any desire to take the team out of New Orleans. And so Memphis begins to emerge as the...
There could be a family fight coming up, though.
Well, let's hope. Memphis begins to emerge as the...
Because, listen, that truly is a tale as old as time. Rich guy's second wife and kids from the other wife, they don't quite get along.
So I will tell you this. I have been, from the day, since before the Grizzlies moved here, the specter of the Grizzlies leaving has been raised as a bogeyman. They're just going to leave. They're just going to leave. We shouldn't bring them here because they're just going to leave. They're just going to leave. See? They're going to leave. They're going to leave. They're going to leave. It was infuriating because it was based in this self-hatred and self-loathing as a community. And they weren't going to leave. Like, there was a lease. They were committed. There were lots of clauses in the lease that, like, that they were not going to leave. I would tell them people that over and over and over and over again. And sure enough, they have been here 25 years. They have been important and responsible citizens in this community. And the lease, though, is coming up. Ends in 29. This isn't the end. The lease doesn't have to be done today. But am I now actually, does it enter my mind that now is the time to actually worry about them leaving? Yes. Yes.
I think there's another factor as well. We do know that David Stern was committed to one city.
100%.
And, like, the reason why I think the arena in Sacramento, like, it's like David Stern Drive.
There's definitely a feeling that David Stern was committed to Memphis and to this to this model. And there's definitely a feeling that Adam Silver is not. And there's definitely a feeling that the rest of the owners, the rest of the owners could very well say, listen, why would we continue to prop up a team in Memphis when we could have a really rich team that brings in revenue in Seattle? And so that's the other thing. Again, if they do sign a lease, and I think the most likely scenario is they will come to an agreement and the lease will get signed. Now, at that point, the lease will have outs in it. Here's the truth of the matter is we have to do better as a city. And this goes back to the whole thing. It goes back to, in the end, the future of the University of Memphis and the future of the Grizzlies and the future of FedEx and the future of all the communities in Memphis depend on us doing better as a community. You can get a new lease signed with the Grizzlies, and I think that's the most likely scenario. Again, I'm a little worried now, but I think it's the most likely scenario. But even that, like, if you flounder as a community, if you don't create a vibrant downtown, ultimately they're not staying forever. You know what I mean? Like, and so that is the ultimate lesson here. But it'll be interesting to see now that this story has dropped today. Will the Grizzlies say anything? You know, there's this feeling that when a story like this,
probably not.
When a story like this, when a feeling like this drops, that it's like, oh no, is this going to alert the world that and the NBA that Memphis hasn't finished? And I guess my answer to that is that if you don't think people in Seattle don't know that Memphis has a lease that's coming up in 29, you're out of your mind. You know, of course they do. And you don't think Adam Silver knows? Oh, Adam Silver. I mean, Adam Silver could have woken up today and read the Daily Memphian. And like, yeah.
No way, huh?
No.
How about that?
Forgot that.
Clear my schedule today.
I'm not going to be alarmist. I don't want to be alarmist. And I think, as I've said a million times, if Robert Parra wanted to get the hell out of here, he could have gotten out of here a long time ago. I don't think he built a team to crush the hearts of people in a city, bought a team to crush the hearts of people in the city. But is it a source of concern? The money's there. Sign the lease. That would sure make people feel better, wouldn't it, Jeffrey?
It would.
Yeah. All right. We've talked about some serious stuff in the first hour. The second hour, we're going to take a little bit of a break and talk about the real world or frivolity and the real world. Charles Fishman's going to join us. Fish on Friday on Tuesday in the second segment in the next hour. Mark Odgers, Bud Light daredevil, been on David Letterman 13 times. I don't think he's going to jump over interns when he gets here, but I mean, we may ask. We may have to find a handy intern or two. We will do that next. It is the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.